In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Every year, I am astonished that corn and beans grow in such abundance in this part of the country. And the flowers and the plants, so lovingly tended by our Grace Gardeners, are simply gorgeous. We are so blessed to have people who are willing to put in the hours, have a vision of how our church could look, and are willing to put in the hard work and sweat that is needed to make it all happen. But I will tell you, I am not a plant person. So when Jesus started his parable today, I wasn't captured by the topic right off the bat. Well, let me digress for just a moment. I was instantly caught up by my memories of being beside the Sea of Galilee. Now that I've seen it, it is just so clear to me now why people would gather there with Jesus, because the land leading down to the sea would create a sort of natural amphitheater. And it's easy to see why Jesus would get into a boat to separate himself a little bit so that more people would be able to see him. And now that I have been in that area, I know how lush the vegetation would have been. In doing just a little bit of research, I am convinced that the climate has only changed a little bit. It's just a bit hotter and drier, maybe, than it was back then. But even now, things grow there in abundance. So it's no wonder that Jesus chose a parable about sowing seeds. I have always read this parable and thought that Jesus was in a very evangelical mood that day. And I've always heard this passage preached as if he was giving instructions about how to build up his kingdom and add more people to the flock. Now, though, I have considered the possibility that this parable is really asking each of us to consider what kind of plant we are and what kind of soil we are growing in. That's a very different introspection than we're probably used to. None of us are from seeds that fell on the path and were soon eaten by birds. If we were, we wouldn't be here. Those seeds never stood a chance. It gets much harder to think about whether we're seeds that fell on rocky soil. Some of us had the word sown in our hearts, and we had an instant flourish of response. We grew in our belief. We became avid Christians, committed to growing more deeply in our faith and understanding. Everything seemed to be going great until, as Jesus says, the sun came out and burnt us up. If there were no deep roots and there wasn't enough soil for the plant to do well, it was doomed. If something didn't happen to change things, then other than that brief flash of brilliance, that person's faith was likely to burn into nothingness. The ones who are the seeds sown among thorns are very easy to identify in our world. They are everywhere, and it's easy to have a lot of compassion for them. Thorns can be anything from distressing problems in the family, the lack of or the lust for money, bad neighbors, politics, cynicism, a lack of understanding? Thorns are any of the millions of things that keep people away from God. No matter how strong they started off in their faith, when the thorns start to choke them, they give up. Then there are the very lucky seeds that fall on good soil. From them, the yield is bountiful. To me, that sounds like the fantastic corn crop in Illinois. For weeks now, I've been noticing the corn as I drive up and down Dixon Avenue. I drive by and I'm pretty sure the corn has grown another 6 inches every time I see it. The fun thing is that I go right by Selmy's. And as you probably know, they sell sweet corn all summer long. To accomplish that and have fresh corn all the time, they plant different patches at different times. So, depending on the weather, you can see what corn looks like when it's 2 weeks old, right next to corn that's 4 weeks old, next to a patch that's 6 weeks old, and so on. I'm a little off topic, but my point is that you can see how incredibly healthy the crop is. It's deep green and full and producing big ears of corn that look picture perfect. Okay, now that we're all hungry, I'll remind you that I was talking about seed that has been planted in good soil. So a question for us is, are we growing in good soil? Good soil might mean attending a church that enriches your soul and your heart. But good soil also means adding nutrients. I'm positive that Selmy's doesn't just go out once a year and throw seed on the ground and hope for the best. So, what does that mean for you? I can tell you exactly what I think it means for me. My nutrients are the family that I have here at Grace. Each one of you adding something good. Some of you add sunshine. Some of you sprinkle me with holy water when I'm thirsty and remind me of my baptismal vows. There are even some of you that make me laugh and help me shake off the stresses of the world. And there are times that you have propped me up and helped me to grow straight and true. For me, nutrition for good soil is found at Bible study, where the scriptures come alive for us and help us deepen those roots that are so important for growth. We surely don't want a stiff wind of some disaster in the world to knock us over and just let us die. The whole purpose of this is to be a robust Christian. We are to bear fruit. But bearing fruit doesn't just mean having children. It means increasing the numbers of people in this world that have heard the good news that Jesus Christ brought to us so long ago. God asks us to build up creation the way God intended it. All of us ultimately feeding the whole world. And that means we have to get busy. Growing, sowing more seed, tilling the soil, getting rid of the rocks that make planting impossible, taming the weeds and thorns that choke off new life, and every once in a while, like every week here at Grace, at this table, drinking some life-giving Miracle-Gro to make you strong and healthy. If your roots aren't growing in good soil, just get up and let them walk you over to a place where you have good soil. And then if we all work together and grow together, we can expect a bumper crop. Amen.